So a muon is a strange beast. It's like a heavy electron.
So if you remember back to science class, you'll know that an atom is made of three tiny particles: protons, which are positively charged, neutrons, which are neutral, and electrons, which are negatively charged. When Kawal says a muon is like a heavy electron, he's saying that a muon is more affected by a magnetic field than your standard everyday electron. But where do muons come from?
I mean, they're produced all the time from, I guess, cosmic ray events.
These cosmic rays are made of energized protons firing at Earth from outer space. Once here, the cosmic rays crash into the molecules that make up the gases in our atmosphere.
So they hit molecules, you know, nitrogen, oxygen, and so on in the upper atmosphere.
When the molecules are broken apart by cosmic rays, they form new particles that Kawal says are called pions.
So the analogy kind of is that, you know, if you collide, you know, one particle with another, you basically get more particles and often particles which are different than what you started with.
The pions don't have a particularly long shelf life, and they then decay to become the muon, which Kawal describes in this way.
They're just like a little magnet.
A little magnet, also with a very short shelf life, one of only about 2.2 millionths of a second, that came into this world as the result of cosmic rays breaking apart molecules in our atmosphere. Kawal studied muons at the U.S. Department of Energy's Brookhaven National Laboratory in the 1990s, with a huge machine that contains a 50-foot-wide electromagnet and a superconducting cable. Now that same machine must be moved from Brookhaven and up to New York to the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory near Chicago. Because the electromagnet is so fragile and so expensive, it must travel by sea at speeds no faster than 10 miles an hour down the East Coast and then up the Mississippi River to Chicago. Once there, Kawal will be in charge of a team that will revisit the muons and research how they are affected by the magnetic field in the machine.
Basically, it's a big magnet, and we shoot the muons into this magnet, and they circle around until they decay.
And remember that the muons act like little magnets themselves, and they're spinning around in this magnetic ring until they decay.
So maybe the way to think about this is that you can imagine that we're actually injecting a bunch of little bar magnets. The bar magnets go around the ring, and as they're going around the ring, they're also spinning. And then finally, this bar magnet decays, or the decay products point in the direction that the magnet was pointing when it decayed.
And here's why this experiment is important. Using math and what we know about muons, science can pretty accurately predict how the muons will act in the magnetic ring, what's referred to as their magnetic moment.
Particle theorists can predict the value of this magnetic moment with extraordinary precision, and we can measure it with extraordinary precision. And when we compare the results, it tells us whether or not the theory describes nature as we know it.
Meaning that if some of the muons don't act like they're supposed to, it could mean that something, some mystery force or particle that we currently do not know about, is acting on the muons. Kawal said that the things learned from the experiment could help explain other mysteries in nature.
So there are other mysteries in physics. You may have heard of dark matter and dark energy. So we know that our current models are incomplete, and there probably is other physics out there. This experiment might give a hint of, you know, new particles in nature, and those new particles in nature would be associated with a solution to one of these problems.
The Muon G-2 experiment is expected to launch in 2016. For more information, visit WAMC.org. For WAMC, I'm Lucas Willard.